Okay, if you had such a black hole, would you follow this guy's footsteps and use it for whatever you can get out of it? Swipe candy, go places you shouldn't go, take things that aren't yours? See, the black hole in the video and the black hole in your bulletin that many of you thought was a misprint, but they messed up, represents selfishness. It's putting our needs, our wants, ahead of everybody else, even God. It is living life as a mercenary. Takes the focus off Jesus and puts it on ourselves. And in this sermon series that we've called Avalanche, we are trying to keep the focus on Jesus because there are things in our lives that are overwhelming, that bury us, that distract us from keeping our eyes on Jesus. And last week we talked about worry, how worry does that, and we lose focus. Selfishness does the same thing. I mean, we strive to be a church that loves unconditionally, just like Jesus loved. And the initiative that we started, the lifestyle that we started called Love Your Neighbor, is keeping the focus on Jesus and others and loving as Jesus loved other people. But when we focus off Jesus and put it on ourselves, the only question of concern is, what's in it for me? I'm going to do that, but what's in it for me? And selfishness has a close ally, or if you will, a connection to greed, because they both promise self-interest, self-regard, and they are devoid of joy. Living an egocentric life brings consequences. You get trapped, just like the guy locked in the safe. There are always going to be consequences for our actions, both good and bad. I want you to read with me what happens when people choose to reject God's wisdom and follow God's path, and instead they choose their own self. Listen to this. If only you had listened when I corrected you. This is God talking. I would have told you what's in my heart. I would have told you what I am thinking. I called, but you refused to listen. I held up my hand, but you paid no attention. You did not follow my advice and did not listen when I corrected you. So, I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will make fun when disaster strikes you. Then you will call to me, but I will not answer. You will look for me, but you will not find me. It is because you rejected knowledge and did not choose to respect the Lord. So you will get what you deserve. You will get what you planned for others. That's scary stuff. And we endure physical, emotional, even spiritual discomfort in this life because we reject God, because we take our focus off of Him. Now, obviously, He doesn't give up on us. He still calls us to change. But there are terrible consequences for our self-centeredness. Now, here's the thing. Most of us, especially those in the church, we don't think we're selfish. I mean, we think, well, I live a pretty good life, and I'm okay with everybody. I'm not selfish. And we like to point to the people who are just outrageously selfish. And we say, now that's selfishness. Last summer, a Canadian bride blamed her family and friends for the cancellation of her dream wedding. And her social media tirade went viral. Susan wanted to spend $60,000 on her dream destination wedding to Aruba. $60,000, and she wanted her guest to foot the bill. She asked each guest to contribute $1,500. And she made it perfectly clear if they didn't pay up, they weren't invited to the wedding. Only 8 of 200 invited guests replied. She demanded to be treated like a Kardashian for a day, refused to compromise, and turned her back on family and close friends who were trying to persuade her to give up some of this. It may not come as a shock to you, but the groom walked out. And they never married because he saw a side of her he had never seen before. It's the black hole of selfishness. It drives us to think of self first, to seek pleasure in all forms, to disregard the needs of others, to disregard other people altogether. And we do this innocently. Like I said, most of us don't feel selfish, but if you look at our lives, you can see elements of that. I mean, we pour everything we can into work, and so we put in the hours, and a lot of times it's for just the benefits and the salaries, and that's our focus totally on what we get out of work. What's in it for me? I know of a woman who works for her state government, and when anybody comes by her cubicle and asks for help because they got behind or there's a special project and everybody's lending a hand, she turns and she looks on her cubicle wall where she has posted her job description. And she runs her finger down the job description and she says, "Sorry, that's not my responsibility." Now, she doesn't have many friends at work either. But it's just a way we focus on self. And we fill our calendars with things that we want to do. Now, there's a lot of things that we must do, but we add in all the things. Oh, I want to do that. I want to do that. I'll have to say no to volunteering over here so I can go to that because that's more fun. And so we fill a calendar full of things. And our time, which is the most precious thing we have, we don't want to give up time. So that's reflected in the calendar. And we just can't give people time. And of course, you got to watch your sports teams and keep up with them and know they're all right. And so we put a focus on that. And then we have to go in the latest style. And that's important that we have a nice looking car, a nice looking house. And of course, don't forget, we got the newest iPhone whenever it comes out. And of course, we have to have time for ourselves. So we make sure that we get that kind of time. Then we live vicariously, many of us, through our children. And so we put them in positions where they are spending all of their time and the travel teams and all of that. And many times it's, if we're honest with ourselves, it is a little selfish. So we can brag that our child is better than your child and on and on. And we want what's best. And I know of one young man who had parents forcing him to play baseball constantly all the way up till high school. And he was very, very talented, was on his way to a scholarship, and he quit. He gave it up. He hated it. It had come to the point where he hated to participate. Now, keep in mind, there's absolutely nothing wrong with any of these things. These are not bad things. They're part of what enriches life, part of what we enjoy doing. And it gives us some happiness and moments and family togetherness. But the point is, when do they take over our lives? Because we want what we want. And we're not willing to compromise any of our schedules to do things for others or to do something for God. And see, when you hold all of these things close to you, and you're holding them there, you have no open hand to help another. And when we cling to these things, we have no open hand to receive a blessing from God. Because we're so focused on what we want to do. Now compare this kind of lifestyle to one of Alexandra Scott or Alex. Alex founded a charity that has raised millions of dollars for pediatric cancer research. And that's an old picture of Alex because she died at the age of 8. she fought a losing battle with cancer that she had from her first birthday on. But when she was 4 years old, she was so grateful for her care, for the hospital in Connecticut, for the doctors and nurses and technicians that were there, that she opened up a lemonade stand just to raise money for her hospital. And her generosity attracted the attention of the entire community, and it inspired hundreds of young cancer survivors all over the United States to set up their own lemonade stands. Alex's legacy still helps others by funding cancer research. The opposite of selfishness is generosity. And true generosity is both a quality and a practice. It's a quality void of complaints. It's full of gratitude. It's driven by concern for others. It's a practice that will not let one sit and do nothing while there is still good yet to do. And it's so easy to fall into this black hole that we're focusing on self and we don't even realize it. Among many things that are good and satisfying, we become selfish. True generosity is blessed by God. It brings joy, not only with the soul, but on the faces of others. God's word affirms that. Listen to what he says. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So look at this and note a few things. First, it begins with a powerful word, command. Paul doesn't say, I suggest, or I propose, or I advise. It's a command. And there is little need to debate his words. The God of the universe is speaking through his servant, and he expects obedience to his word. We've said it many times that God's love language is obedience. That when we read his word and follow his word, we are showing that we love God. Next, he addresses the word command to these individuals, those who are rich in this present world. Now, before you shut down and say, well, that's not me. I'm not rich at all. This doesn't pertain to me. Let me assure you that it does. This is not directed just to those who have millions and millions of dollars. It's directed to people who have been blessed by God. Sometimes materially, but not always, because there are many blessings of God that make us rich. You might have been blessed with a wonderful heritage, that you were raised in a Christian home with Christian parents, and you were in church every day, every Sunday, and you went every week, and that's a blessing that God chose to give you. And you can share the lessons from that with your own family. You might be blessed with a job that makes you happy. You don't make a whole lot of money, but you love this job because it helps others. You may be blessed with possessions, not exorbitant amount, but you're comfortable and you're satisfied. And if you want to continue to debate the wealth question, whether you are rich or not, let me take you to visit some missionaries in India or Haiti or Kenya, just to name a few. And if you don't return home feeling blessed and rich beyond your wildest dreams, then you haven't really seen what's out there in the world. 7.6 billion people live on this planet right now. 92% don't have a car. 80% do not have a television. 40% do not have shoes. 35% do not have clean water. 2 billion live on less than $2 a day. Rich is a matter of perspective. And by this one, we're all very rich. Regardless, we are not to arrogantly just focus on self. Paul said, do good. Be rich in good deeds. Share everything you have, even your time. And let's be honest, time is the most difficult thing we have to share. We convince ourselves we don't have time to help, to volunteer, to get involved. We're just too busy. Everybody's busy. Even retired people are often the busiest people I know. They wake up with nothing to do and they go to bed with it half done. You can think about that one later. I promise you it sounds good. Everybody has full schedules. Everybody has packed calendars. There's just not enough time. And yet, it's interesting, we all have the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. And we're all busy. And yet, we find the time, we make the time to do the things we want to do. To find time to do the things we enjoy doing. Now, I fall into this black hole as well. And I get selfish from time to time. With family, with friends, even with my time, especially my time. About 10 years ago, I was flying to Florida for a speaking engagement, and I had my book, a book that I had for a month. I've been saving it. I haven't even opened it. I've been saving it for this trip. I wanted to read it, so I got on the plane. I sat down. I put my earbuds in. I opened my book, and I just let everybody know, don't bother me. Don't want to talk. I mean, just by the way my body was situated. Well, here comes a young college student, a female college student from New York, and she sits down beside me. And anytime this happens, and I think I imagine this a lot of times, but it's true a lot of times, I look around and I see dirty looks, nasty looks from people thinking, and I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, well, that creepy middle-aged man going to talk up that girl and everything, and I see them looking at me. I want to stand up and say, listen, put your nasty looks in the luggage compartment above your head or in the seat in front of you. And I am not, this isn't what you think it is. And shame on you for thinking about it. And if you still think of that, then you need to just jump off the plane. There are exits here and there. And keep in mind, the nearest exit may be behind you. So I'm sitting there, and she sits down, and she starts talking immediately. Forget the earbuds, forget the book. She just doesn't see them, and so she starts talking. She has her master's in communication. And she must have done very well in class, because she was communicating a lot. And she went to proceed, and then she said this. She says, you look like an executive. I bet you hire people. Don't you conduct job interviews? I admitted I did. I might as well just go ahead. I took off the earbuds, closed the book, and I said yes. And for the next 90 minutes, I edited her resume. I conducted a mock job interview at her insistence. And I offered advice on office romances and dating. All I wanted to do was read my book. I wanted to be left alone. I wanted to be selfish. Well, the plane landed, and she was very appreciative, and she got off and got her luggage, and she was gone. And I'm thinking, man, I'm glad that's over. And this other woman who I noted had been sitting in front of us, she comes towards me with her finger wagging. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get it now. She's going to let me have it. She's got the nasty look. And she walks up and she says, you did such a nice thing. You paid it forward. And you know what? Your example, I'm going to do that today. I'm going to look how I can pay it forward. God bless you. And she wouldn't have blessed me if she knew what I was thinking. That I was so selfish and I just wanted to be left alone. But I've learned in life, God will put people in our lives that He wants us to connect with. And maybe it's just for a short flight. Or maybe it's a neighbor who's going to live beside you for the next 20 years. Or it could be a family member or someone at work. But God is going to put people in your circle. And if we're aware of that, every day and we're looking for those people and take the focus off ourselves and put the focus on God and what He's doing in our lives, we're going to be able to help people, to offer godly advice, to share, to encourage. So turn off the TV. Put down the book. Quit texting and tweeting and Facebooking. And be aware God's got somebody for you to touch this week. Put the focus on God and on others and not on yourself. And God can use you and bless you as you bless others. Do a good deed today, Paul says. Don't be selfish with your time. Notice people around you. The band The Imagine Dragons sang at a halftime of a football game recently, and they sang a song with the phrase, I'm never changing who I am. Now, if you're a dragon, I guess that's okay. You don't have to change. But if you're human, and we all have a tendency towards selfish ways, we all need to change. To change our focus, to give more time to God and to the people around us. Maybe pray this week, hey God, I'm going to give you 2 hours this month. 2 hours to do whatever you need me to do. Now, for many of you right now, you're already doing much more than that. But if you're not focused on others and on God, this might be a good place to start. Just 2 hours a month to give of your time, to give of your resources, to bless someone. But to do that, you're going to have to take the focus off yourself. Look at this passage again. Command those who are rich in this present world, again, that's us, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Because we are made in the image of God, and we are told that in Genesis, that we are made in the image of God, and we're told that throughout the Bible. We are made in the image of God. We have been created to give. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. He's the greatest giver ever, and we are to follow in His footsteps. We are to be like God. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from above. And if we are made in His likeness and we are to reflect His likeness, if we're to think and live like His Son Jesus, we're going to be eager to share blessings with Him and with those around us. And I know there are tough times in life and we get so overwhelmed and we lose that focus, but it's an opportunity for us every time to make a difference in someone's life. Because generosity is a two-way street. It brings blessing and joy not only to the recipient, but to the donor. That God blesses us as we bless others. Jesus taught, give and it will be given to you. The Bible also says it is more blessed to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians 9, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, either those three verses are lies, or God doesn't know what He's talking about, or they are true. And if they're true, then generosity and God's blessings will dramatically change you and bring joy into your life that you have never, ever experienced before. And that's why we put the dot in, not only just as a teaser, but to say, hey, take your bulletin home with you. Put this up on your refrigerator for a month. Put it on your bathroom mirror just for a month through the end of February, and remind yourself every day, I will not be selfish today. I will be generous with my time and with my words and with my attention, and my focus is going to be on Jesus Christ, and my focus is going to be on others. And when we do this, God offers a promise. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I love that phrase, the life that is truly life, the good life, the joyful life, the life that is a little bit of heaven on earth. Because the more we bless others, the more God blesses us. Our ultimate blessing is in heaven. But until we get there, God can give us heavenly blessings now. So during this song, I just want you to look at your own life and examine your own heart. Are there areas in your life where you are not generous? Are there areas when you feel a little guilty because maybe you are being selfish? Keep your focus on Jesus. Let this be a time of change for you. We'll have people from our prayer team right up front in case you just want to pray for someone else today. If you need prayer, that's great. We will pray for you. But maybe take the focus on God's people, off yourself, on God's people, on co-workers, on neighbors, on anyone in your life that needs extra prayer. Let us pray for them. Let us join you in praying for them. Please stand.